Be there shortly. Found a badge and turning it in like a soulless evil person with no morals.
Nice. Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk with the listener who won our auction item at Die Laughing. Her name is Miranda, and we're going to discuss transgender issues.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am one of your hosts, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick.
That's me.
And Nick Glover.
Hi, I'm that one.
And today we are recording at Convergence, not with a live audience, that'll be other episodes, but today we are recording with our wonderful, amazing friend, auction winner of our Die Laughing auction spot, Miranda Richards.
Hello.
Hi, Miranda. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
It was a hard-fought battle, too.
Yeah.
There were two proxy voters or bidders trying to win, and they were going against each other at the end, and we were texting back and forth.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Do you want to go higher than this?
Yeah, actually, I put in, like, with Melissa, I said I would go to, I think it was 111, and then I got outbid, and she's like, are you sure you don't want to go higher? And I'm like, oh, what the heck, I'll go for it. And then, like, it got up to 135, and I was like, shit, what am I doing? Like, I hope he stops bidding.
And we were like, shit, what are they doing? Like, why are people paying money for this?
He really wanted to be on. I don't
that's
even
amazing.
Know who that is.
Yeah.
I followed him on Twitter, though.
Oh, well, that's fair. I mean, I think, you know, after...
Who was the other one?
Captain
it was
Heck.
David. It was the captain.
Oh, okay,
captain.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you hadn't been on the podcast yet, so he was totally being a dick.
Yeah,
that's
was.
My opinion.
Oh, has
like,
he been on?
He's
yes.
been on before.
Oh,
it's
he
like
was the teacher
so
that we had.
Yeah, he talked about geography with me.
Oh,
yeah.
Anyway, so we are having Mandy. Yeah, I'm going by Mandy. Yeah, because you're Mandy Dax on Twitter,
that's
and that's
fine.
How I always think of you as Mandy Dax.
That's kind of the first thing that
yeah,
comes to
yeah.
mind for me too.
So we are going to talk about trans issues and what it's like to be transgender and so we that's something very near and dear to Nick's in my heart, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, we've both always been big supporters of. GLBT, but especially, you know, like just like the getting out the message about like ending transphobia, which I think
mm-hmm.
is more prevalent than anything, and so and just doesn't really get noticed.
I think it's well, I don't know from my perspective, it seems like people have a harder time understanding that there's a bigger like knowledge or exposure.
Gap
between that compared to like bi or being gay or
mm-hmm.
being an atheist or whatever, people can be like, oh, it's you like a different I get it, whatever,
yeah.
sex, and but when it comes to gender, people don't understand as clearly, and
mm-hmm.
I think it I don't know, it feels like an education opportunity to me.
Yeah,
I just real quick, just some quick terms. Cisgendered would be what Nick, Tim, and I are, which is we were born with the physical sex characteristics of the gender that we are and that we feel we are as a person.
Yeah.
So if you hear a reference, you know,
cis.
She's cis or a cis, you know, that's what
right.
that is. And then trans being the opposite, where you are born not in the sex characteristics, physical body of,
right.
of who you are as a person. Nick's brother actually is
yeah.
trans and
oh.
was born female and for a long time was, you know, lesbian, butch, very
yeah.
butch.
He identified as lesbian just because
yeah.
my mom's lesbian.
It was the mm-hmm. easiest.
And oh, I like women, my mom likes women, I must be a lesbian. And but he's always been super butch, like
yeah. he
forever.
Ran for prom king.
He ran for prom king, he was one of my best men
yeah.
Before he came out. And when he came out, it was like, oh, well, that makes much more sense. Like, that fits better. And it wasn't a surprise to anyone.
Yeah, not at all. So what is your experience? I mean, I don't know how much you want to tell us,
yeah.
but please give us the rundown.
Well, you're talking about the prom king thing, but actually, just recently there was a girl, a trans girl, who got voted as the prom or homecoming queen.
That's awesome.
And I was like, that is amazing. I started
that's
crying
super
a little
awesome.
Bit.
Yeah.
That was really heartening. I read that. I'm like, that's amazing. I mean, that's not something you expect yet.
Yeah. Lucky, feel lucky for the kids coming up in a changing time.
Yeah. There's a lot of kids who are coming out, like, in school, and they're getting, like, their parents are being really supportive, and they're getting on, you know, hormone therapy before it fucks them all up.
Right.
So...
I imagine if you can get on hormone therapy before your DNA-driven hormones start kicking in.
That's right.
That would be a big change.
Yeah. So, well, my experience is I was always a weird child. I even have a hard time calling myself a boy. I always refer to myself as a child or kid,
sure,
instead of as a boy, because it kind of, it's just one of those things where it kind of hides it a little bit.
Yeah, I can understand that.
It's kind of like, you know, how people avoid pronouns sometimes.
Yeah.
But, I was male, basically, until I was in... It was the summer between my junior and senior years in college.
Okay.
And I took the summer and lived with some friends who also went to college there at Cornell. And I found out because two of my friends got drunk and mentioned that the third friend was transgendered.
Oh.
And then I was like, I got to get interested in this. And
something just
clicked. And I started reading some books. I went to the library. I rented a bunch of books. I read the autobiography of Renee Richards, the tennis star, Second Serve.
Mm-hmm.
And... just some of the passages in there. There's one passage where he at the time was like pushing his penis up inside him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I did that. And, you know, and then you do the whole thing where you tuck it between your legs and you're like, I'm a lady.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, sometimes you just think, well, that's just things that kids do. And then you realize, you know, maybe not.
And it can be, but that doesn't mean that that doesn't invalidate the fact that you were doing it because of who you are. I mean, that's,
Yeah. And
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I was thinking that my sister is a really... She's a lesbian, and she was always really into sports. She was very tomboyish. When I was playing baseball, like, I was 9 or whatever, and she was 7, and my dad was assistant coaching the team, and she would go out there and show every one of the boys up. she took a baseball to the face because we were showing you how to get in front of the ball. So if you get a bad hop, it doesn't get past you. Well, a bad hop and right into her face.
Oh, jeez.
But, she was always kind of the butchy one.
Yeah.
She was very tomboyish, and I was not. I mean, you know, if I were a girl, I might have been considered a tomboy just because of the way I was raised.
Would you consider yourself to have been like an effeminate boy at the time, or did you was there any part of you that felt?
I think so. I mean, I like to occasionally cross dress, and one of my friends in college was an art major, and she did this whole thing where, I was dressed up as a woman and. We did my hair and makeup and everything and just did all this sort of photography. And I actually still have some of those photos.
That's an amazing thing to have.
Because she gave some of them to me after the show.
What an awesome... I mean, how many of us can say, like, here's a picture of the beginning of me? Like, the beginning of the real us.
One.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
It's a superhuman origin story.
Yeah.
Like, that's you getting bit by a radioactive spider.
Before you started to realize that you were trans, did you identify as gay or...
No, actually, I didn't. I was straight and I liked having sex with women and it's kind of strange. It's like after I transitioned, I continued to date women.
Mm-hmm.
But it was kind of a weird relationship because I was dating lesbians and then the whole thing was just a little bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually did, like, much later date some men, one before and one after I had my surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I probably would consider myself asexually bi.
That makes sense.
I
yeah.
don't, because right now I'm not on any hormones.
Okay.
And I don't have any natural, you know, androgens or estrogens going
right.
on. So I, I'm just sort of neuter.
Like,
as far
like
as,
you're attracted to both, but you don't really
yeah.
feel, you're not getting any stirrings. Like, it's just
yeah,
kinda,
it's
yeah.
like, it's like, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody like Scarlett Johansson or Johnny Depp, and you'll be like, oh, yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, sure, if the opportunity came up.
Right, right.
I'd say no.
Yeah, I'm not going to turn down that beautiful piece of
yeah.
human being flesh.
Yeah, but, yeah, so I, let's see, after, let's see, my when I started my senior year in college,
mm-hmm.
I went and, like, there was a counselor at the school, one of the psychology professors, and she was seeing me pretty much weekly. And then I had to go see, this was back in 96 and 97,
mm-hmm.
so it was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, you had to see a shrink for 6 months, like pretty much weekly.
Yeah.
And then you had to go to... you had to go to like an endocrinologist or some doctor, and they would
mm-hmm.
prescribe you the hormones. And
mm-hmm.
so I did that, and it was very expensive because I didn't want my parents' insurance to cover it.
Right.
And I'll get to my whole coming out to my parents thing a little bit, but in March of 97, at the end of February, I filed with Linn County to change my name.
Mm-hmm.
In Iowa, you just file a petition with the court, and then you wait 30 days, and you go back,
mm-hmm.
and then the judge can sign it or not. I mean, people have the opportunity to object, but I don't see why anyone would, because who would know?
Okay, yeah.
But
interesting.
Yeah, so I went back there, and I was in my best, you know, I was in my best clothes and
mm-hmm.
everything. I'm sitting outside the judge's chamber, and the bailiff goes in, and she's like, "We might call you in," and so I'm sitting out there, I'm just sweating, I'm so nervous. And then she comes out and she says, "Well, he signed it. You're all set," and gives me a copy. So
worry for nothing.
Yeah.
Does that change your gender too? Because
no.
because it's in Minnesota recently when Nick's brother transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Minnesota's apparently an extremely progressive state for this because he had a lot of support through the U. He had
mm-hmm.
a very easy access to a lot of great. And then when he went to change his name, well, he didn't change his name because his
no.
name's Jamie, so it's
yeah.
gender neutral. But he went to change his gender and he got his new license
mm-hmm.
and he took a picture. He's like, you know, it says gender male and Jamie Glover and he's all excited.
A
few weeks later, he got a letter in the mail saying he has to sign up for selective services because he's now a male under
yeah.
25.
Nice.
And so we were just
like. That's got to be super validating,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, we consider you enough of a man that you're going to die for your country. Get up there.
Yeah. So
with your family,
uh-huh.
so how old were you when you came out to your family?
It was actually that same summer.
Okay.
Okay.
Summer of 96. So I had called and I told my dad that I had something going on with me, and
mm-hmm.
my mom, like, I went home for the 4th of July, so it's pretty much exactly 18 years from
me. It's your anniversary.
Oh, wow,
you're a legal adult now.
Yeah. So I went home for the 4th of July, and my mom was there, and she kept bugging me. She's like, I'm like, I have something to tell you, but I just can't do it yet. And she just kept picking at me. I was like, fine, I'm transsexual, and I want to be a woman. And she fell apart.
Oh, man.
She did not understand at all. And we had this big fight. I broke a window in my car, which is kind of dumb. I mean, she really pissed me off.
Yeah.
So I just kind of left. And my dad eventually called me and was like, what's going on? And I told him. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. And it was completely the opposite of what
yeah.
I thought would happen. I thought my dad wouldn't understand or approve, and my mom would just be, you know, unconditionally
yeah.
loving me. But it was completely the opposite. My
yeah.
dad said, I don't understand why you need to do this, but I'll support you.
Aww.
And, sorry.
No, it's that's cool.
That's
and yeah, so my mom kept basically every time I saw her, she would try to talk me out of it, and she became very clingy, and she wouldn't use the like. I mean, I know it's really hard for somebody who's known you for 20 years to use different pronouns or different names.
It's not that hard. I mean, it's difficult, but
it's like I really felt like she was making the effort to not do that.
Going out of her way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was really hard. And my sister wasn't out to my parents at that time either.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
I wondered about that.
My dad asked me one time, he's like, so what's up with your sister? Because she's like bringing her girlfriends to.
Yeah.
Like, and, and
roommates.
Yeah, I was like, right. Well, that's really not for me to tell, is it?
Yeah,
but yeah. So, my dad's side of the family seemed to be okay with it, and my mom's side was just really surprisingly more religious than I originally thought they were. And the very strange thing is, I was having trouble with the family and everything. And then one day I get this email from one of my aunts on my mom's side, and it's all about prayer at football games. And it says, if they don't like it, well, they can just not pray or they can leave. And I'm like, never send me anything like this again. And then she goes off on me, and I was just like, I give up. There's nothing else I can do. And it was really weird because the atheism was the thing that broke the camel's back on that side of the family.
That's
I was like,
huh.
What the fuck?
Like, well, as long as you can accept that Jesus loves you, then we're all fine.
I guess.
Whatever parts you want. Like, is that, I mean,
I know.
That just seems so awful.
I mean, I really feel bad that I, I went for 10 years, I tried. And
yeah.
There's a point where you're like, I can't do this anymore.
It's so conditional. Like,
yeah,
it's so weighted.
Conditional love is not worth my time.
It's not. It's I love you as long as this. Is not love. It's not supportive. It's not helpful.
And it's not like as long as you don't like take these actions. Like this, like obviously saying I love you as long as you don't go back on heroin. That's not horrible and unsupportive.
Yeah.
But to say I love you as long as you are not
as long
person,
as you think it's okay to pray at football games.
Yeah, I love you as long as you just pretend that you believe in God and also please pretend that you're a man.
Yeah.
Like we would prefer that. It makes us more comfortable.
Yeah, one of the last things one of the last times I spoke with my mom was just before I went to Montreal to have my surgery done. There's a couple of surgeons there who do it pretty much like 2 or 3 a week.
That's their specialty.
Yeah, that's what they do.
That's what you want.
It's really nice, too. I went up there, and this was just after 9/11, too, so that flight was interesting.
Oh,
yeah, I bet.
Because I didn't even have a passport because I'd gone to like Mexico and all you needed was your birth certificate.
Right.
And then I forgot my birth certificate at home. But I had the legal document that said my name changed and it said who I was before and where my birthplace was. So it was proof that I was American. I'm like, shit, I don't care if I can come back.
Yeah.
I need to go now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I did manage to go and there were a bunch of delays because of like weather. But I got up there. It's a really nice place because they like have this. This house that you convalesce in for like a week.
It's really
with
people who are
so I had
all
my
27th, they all know what's going on.
Yeah,
how to talk
yeah,
to
like,
people who
and
are
it's,
recently
and
transitioning.
And it's filled with nurses. And there's like I think there were like 4 other people there who were having male to female surgery, and there was one female to male.
It's really nice.
Damn, he was cute. And yeah, so it was really nice. And then, what was I saying?
Your mom, you talked to your mom.
Yeah, yeah. Right before I went up, my mom basically begged me not to go. She said, "Please don't do this." And I talked to her afterwards, and I'm like, "It's done. There's nothing. There's no way to go back."
Yeah.
I was feeling really angsty and vindictive at the time too, and I'm like. I think one of the things I said before I left was, do you want me to bring them back to you?
Oh,
yeah.
If that's the most important part of me, because that's obviously what I'm feeling right now. This is what you're communicating to me, is that that's all that matters about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I it's interesting because, so when Nick's brother came out to the two of us, we were the first people in the family that he talked to because he said, I want to... And he'd been really down. Like, he'd been very
He was always really quiet.
He was a quiet,
shy,
quiet guy.
Kid.
You could tell he was feeling. He seemed really depressed, and we thought it was because he and his girl had just broken up, and
yeah.
we thought maybe it was that. But it seemed like more than that, and it was obviously because it was all these things he'd been thinking about for so long, and he told us, and we were all kind of more worried about their dad than their mom because their mom is a lesbian and she came out. She was married to their dad and then came out. And
she's one of the founders of Rainbow Families.
So it's funny because, I think that your mom had almost a little bit of a harder time with it than your dad, just because your mom being a lesbian and being very women and women together, and she loves Nick and all.
My mom's
very
feminine and girly.
And
like
she's a very... But she's also...
Lipstick. Like,
she's also a lesbian who...
Big time.
Almost, she very much the cause and women and...
Yeah.
And I think that she had this solidarity with her daughter and realizing that, it's that Jamie is the same person, and I think it made her feel...
Yeah.
And it was interesting, and your dad was just like... He took a big long drink of his drink and he's like, all right.
He was on,
and just,
my dad was on board as soon as Molly said, the Glover boys, the Glover sons.
Your sons.
And my dad was all like,
my
that.
Two
Glover
sons.
Sons.
Like,
all
right. Goddamn
right,
my two sons.
My boys,
I don't understand this weird lesbian daughter, but I get a son. I got a son who likes girls, right?
My dad had six brothers and a sister, so like, he gets brothers.
Yeah.
He understands that.
Yeah, it was really, but that was something that I, hadn't, it didn't occur to me that it would be hard for your mom to as a lesbian with a daughter to understand that change.
We did kind of ambush my dad.
Uh-huh. We did.
We it was like the first time we'd ever invited him to our house for dinner or anything. He'd been to our house, but never
for dinner.
We usually eat out or something when we meet.
But Jamie didn't want to do this in a restaurant, obviously, because that's not appropriate.
What if there's drama?
Well, you know what? It's private.
Yeah.
You
don't want a waiter to come over
right
in the middle of you saying, and I'm trans, and like, oh, can we get you any guys, any pie?
Right. Because they will come at the worst possible moment, right? And so we had like this...
I want sausage.
I was about to make that joke.
Dick jokes.
I mean, yes.
So we invite him over and, had a nice dinner, and then it was kind of like, so we've got this thing we're going to talk about, and kind of dropped on him, and he was pretty cool about it.
And there's not been, there hasn't really been any pushback or drama in your family at all. How does your sister?
So before that, you had said the last thing you said to your mom, was that the last thing before the surgery?
Before the surgery.
Or have you not talked to your mom
since talked
then?
To her, I've talked to her a number of times since, but like not in the last probably 12 years, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
So that relationship has really been strange.
Do you still talk to your dad?
My dad died in 2000, so.
Oh.
That was
gotta
awkward.
Be hard to have lost that support.
Yeah, that was really awkward because my dad died of a stroke, and my mom and he had divorced a few years before, and he was supposed to have, because of their divorce decree, term life insurance that would give her. Because the alimony money, and well, he didn't have that. He had accidental death insurance for her, and so when he died of a non-accident, she got nothing basically, and he had some like whole life insurance or something with the kids, me and my sister, my two half brothers, and she actually came to me because I had appendicitis and I had to have my appendix taken out, and that was scary.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that was really scary. Because Iowa City is a really liberal area. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I mean, you guys live in Minneapolis.
Yeah,
My mom lived in Decorah for a while.
Yeah.
San Francisco, Minneapolis, Iowa City.
Right,
It's very liberal.
It's super gay friendly, too.
College and lots
and
of artists.
It's a big university town. I went to University Hospital. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And they said, you have appendicitis. And I'm like... We're gonna have to do surgery, and so like I'm talking to the doctor. I'm like, I have to explain to him that if they pull up my gown, they're gonna find something they might not expect.
Right,
I don't want
before
to
your
be,
surgery,
like, I want to make sure that they don't have a problem with it.
Right,
it was really scary because I'm like, I'm gonna be unconscious.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and it's even, and you're feeling so vulnerable, and it's a vulnerable situation. Yeah. Even for someone who's cis or who isn't, you know,
yeah.
in a fragile state in terms of their, mm-hmm. their, you know, just mental well-being, and to have that, like, you have this friction with your family,
yeah.
and you've just recently, you know, come out, and you're still transitioning with
yeah.
hormones,
yeah.
and then on top of it, you're scared and sick. I mean, that's, yeah.
Also, excuse me, Molly and Tim, but a high five, no appendix club.
Yeah. I still got mine, screw you.
Yeah, mine.
Yeah, I have fun eating grass or whatever the fuck it is.
Well, how about high five, no other vestigial appendages club? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So,
I don't have anything to high five.
Yeah.
My you go high five yourself, Tim.
High five me.
Yay. My mom came to me while I was convalescing and said that she wanted to sue me and my sister and my two half-brothers for my dad's insurance money, basically.
Jesus,
she never
Christ.
Followed through with it.
She has no grounds. I mean,
but
it's
I know,
ridiculous.
I know,
it's butthurt.
I know. But, I mean, she actually came to me, and then she told me that. I'm like,
while you're convalescing.
Out. Yeah. I'm like,
your mom's
I have staples in me.
I just, wow.
I'm just, I mean, she was
recovering.
A great mother while I was growing up, but then, like, this, she just can't handle this at all, and I don't know.
I'm
I don't
glad.
Know, like, I thought I knew her, but then it just didn't work.
I am... Honestly, like, I mean, I don't know you very well, but I will say proud and astonished to see, like, what a confident and beautiful woman you are
Thank
in
you.
The face of this
yeah.
amazing story that you told us, because
mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine going through all that with so little support, and
yeah.
then, I mean, you are absolutely, like, you just stride around, I've seen your con, and you just come right up, and
yeah.
you're like, I don't know if you remember me, I'm Miranda, and it's like, of course I remember you, like, hello, like, just very,
that is,
it's just, it's
very hard for me,
it's
yeah.
amazing.
I am very introverted, and sometimes I go through very, very introverted, and I'm
sure.
going through that right now, so con is hard.
I appreciate that.
So
you're,
I have to push myself
a good
for,
that sort of
for as for as public a person as I am. I'm kind of I mean,
yeah,
like,
I
at the con, there are like literally times where I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna go back to my room and watch something on the computer
yeah.
for an hour,
yeah,
just because I need to not be around people
yeah,
for a while.
Exactly.
Molly and I, like, Myers Briggs were like, I'm like 55% extrovert, 45% introvert.
And I'm the same
and
way,
she's
but
the
opposite.
Yeah.
Introvert, 55%
yeah, introvert,
yeah.
45% extrovert. And so it's people are effort
uh-huh.
sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I was into drama, and actually, like, I was acting in high school and doing a lot of technical theater in college. So I kind of use that whole acting thing to.
Yep.
I'm
sure,
like,
yeah.
I have my outgoing persona
yep.
and. I'm using a little bit of it right now.
Yes,
yeah.
that's the
I use
what,
that at work.
What I'm wearing, I call this my VU costume, because
uh-huh.
that's my nickname at con all the time. It's
yeah.
my con name. So this is like a costume, but it's just it's a jazzed up version of me that
yeah.
I'm only ever
it's
here.
It's Molly at 11.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
yeah.
So,
right, so
I know
yeah.
we got to do the five questions. I
yeah.
just wanted to make one comment, just because
yeah.
you know it took me, and I don't have any transgender family members. I don't even have any gay family members,
mm-hmm.
which is very strange,
mm-hmm.
but. It took me a long time, personally, to understand that transgender is not a sexual thing. You know, when you're talking about
yeah.
you're asexual, kind of.
Yeah.
It's an identity thing. And,
yes.
And it took me a really long time, I think.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I understood it a while ago, but still, it took me a long time to understand that the transgender isn't about sex. It's
right.
about I am not the gender that I
right.
appear
yeah.
to be.
Education
and
exposure, man.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
mean, that's,
yeah.
that's
when I hear the term LGBT, I think that T is just doesn't really belong there, because it's different.
It's different, yeah.
I mean,
it's
I
not,
understand it's,
yeah.
it's queer.
But they make it sound like it's a sex thing.
Yeah.
There's
not.
There's,
and,
like a, there's a comma there.
Yeah.
LGBT
and,
comma.
I think there's a couple of things that I just wanted to mention, is that the thing with transitioning as a transsexual or transgender person is you have to you go through this whole identity crisis, and then you also have to go through the orientation crisis again.
Sure.
Because you're like, okay, now I'm a woman or whatever,
right.
and then you're like, and what do I like?
What does that make
yeah.
me?
What does that
yeah.
make me? And and then also with your brother, I think it's probably actually easier for girls to become boys.
That's what I've
yes.
heard.
In society.
Oh,
yes.
yeah, because
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
Well, it's a power thing.
Well,
you're giving up your privilege
yeah.
and power to become a woman
yeah.
when you were a man. I mean,
yeah. I mean, people
yeah.
are more approving of you know, becoming men because mm-hmm. of the whole privilege thing mm-hmm. or whatever. And also, when a woman transitions to become a man, if they go through the whole hormone thing, they can pass easier because the women will start growing beards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you start taking female hormones as a man, you don't stop growing your facial hair.
Not
you have to have it
yeah.
removed.
And
I actually was lucky enough not to have a lot or chest hair or anything.
Yeah.
But I know people who've had like electrolysis on like 70% of their
oh,
body
sure.
just to not look ridiculous.
My brother's Korean, so he's not growing
yeah.
shit.
Oh. Yeah.
He's got like the like 14-year-old wispy
yeah.
mustache
yeah.
hairs. Like that's the best he's ever gonna
yeah.
have.
And the voice.
Yeah.
That was
the voice
awesome.
Drops.
To
the
watch.
Voice was awesome to watch.
And
yeah.
So I have to modulate my voice to sound it remotely. I like yours.
You sound like me. That's
yeah.
why. That's yeah. It's.
I'm like I'm using you as a model.
I'm not even gonna. To be completely honest, Mandy, I did not know you were trans until literally before this episode
oh, really?
Started to record when Tim told me that's what we were talking
oh.
about. So that makes. I hope
yeah,
that makes
I,
you feel good
no,
because
that's
I mean
good.
It.
That's
it's,
good.
It's, I genuinely. I would never have guessed.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
and not that that matters,
uh-huh.
but that's
right.
the, you know it's it. Yeah.
Yeah, but like I haven't really dealt with the transsexual issue for
mm-hmm.
a long time. I mean, I follow some people on Twitter. If anybody wants to follow, there's @ParkerMalloy. She's
okay.
a young transgender woman. And Laverne Cox.
Oh, I love Laverne Cox.
She's on
yeah.
Just the New Black.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the reason
she's
I started watching
She's great on Facebook.
That.
Yeah,
yeah I follow her on Twitter.
It. One of the guests of Honor Convergence last year was...
Anders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Elise
Charlie.
Anders. Elise Anders.
No, Charlie.
Yes.
Charlie.
Charlie Jane. Charlie Jane Anders.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
I was like, hey, I think...
Yeah. Well,
that's mine.
Well, and it's the orientation is real quick, final kind
yeah.
of thought. The orientation issue is very interesting. We have
mm-hmm.
we have a couple friends, and one is now transitioning to being a woman, and
mm-hmm.
her partner... Who I mean, they're together, and
yeah.
and he's like, well, if you're a woman and I love you, what does that make me? Like, my whole identity has been as a gay man. It's
mm-hmm.
been very important to me, and now I mean, but I love you. Like, so now what? And he's been writing a lot of really great articles
yeah.
About exploring that
yeah.
We should link to.
Yeah,
well.
We definitely should.
It's very and it's been very interesting to read, you know, from that perspective too. Of like,
yeah.
and one, he made this joke. He's like. A warning to everyone who has partners who are transitioning, prepare for laundry raids. What are all these buttons? You know? Yes. What are all these little things?
Well, I don't even know what the fuck a gentle cycle is.
Yeah, what's a gentle cycle?
I think it is great that we see... I've seen more people that I know coming
mm-hmm.
out as,
yes.
as trans, and there's definitely, I think, a revolution there.
Makes me so happy every
there's
time
so
someone tells
many,
me.
There's so... I'm seeing so many stories about kids coming out.
Oh, it's
yeah.
the best.
And transitioning with their parents' blessing, you know,
yeah,
like that's just amazing.
It's
really
heartening. So
things are
thank
getting
you.
Better.
Thank
yeah.
you for sharing
yeah,
this.
Absolutely.
Really. So what you guys may not know is that Miranda actually has already written in her 5 questions. We've done her 5 answers before.
Yeah,
and so
I don't know. Yeah,
that means that
actually is. I sent them in like a year ago.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
It was like 4 months ago.
Yeah, so that means that we are going to answer your 5 questions.
Okay.
You have 5 questions for us, right?
Yes.
Awesome.
Okay.
All right.
Question
yes.
number 1. What is the best video game you've played in the last 30 days?
Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Watch Dogs?
Yeah, Watch Dogs all the way.
Which one's Watch Dogs?
It's made by the people that make Assassin's Creed, and it's very similar in that it's a stealth game,
mm-hmm.
but you are... it takes place in Chicago. The map is an outstanding recreation of Chicago, and you can hack traffic lights and blow up
wow.
steam vents. And
it's the hacker game I remember you talking about in
yeah,
an
yeah, yeah.
episode about 6 months ago.
Yeah,
so
right.
excited
it's,
for it to come out.
It's,
okay.
It was really fun, and the story was great, and the co-op was really confusing and frustrating at first.
She was mad.
And like throw a controller frustrating.
Like rage quit almost. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Rage
no, I did rage quit once or twice,
close.
But it was great. Because you'd be playing single player, and all of a sudden... you would do an action that has consequences that would allow someone else over the internet to join into your game without you knowing.
Oh, shit.
And start to hack you.
Oh, God.
And then you'd have to hunt them down and prevent them from finishing their hack within a certain time frame. So you'd be like, la, 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 driving my car, doo-doo-doo, I'm going to go do this
mission.
And all of a sudden it goes, you're being hacked. It's like, oh, fuck, what? Someone's in my game.
Yeah.
Like, it's this total invasion of this interruption, which is, well, it's very frustrating. If you all you want to do is sit down and play the game,
uh-huh.
someone's preventing you from doing that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But once you kind
of
get over that, it was super fun.
Yeah.
And then you get to do it to other people.
I've always talked about the fact that when I play video games, I get totally addicted to them.
Yes.
So I try not to, but in my house right now, we're playing a whole shit ton of Clash of Clans.
Ooh.
Which is it's like a tower defense game. You build your little town,
mm-hmm.
and then it's all online. So your town, what you're trying to do is build up the best defenses because there are people that are going to come in and raid you
uh-huh.
and take your resources, and you need the resources to upgrade all the buildings
sure.
and all the forces in your town. And so and it's like constant. You're always looking for when's my next builder done? So and
yeah.
how much money do I need
Titan.
Or elixir do
yeah.
I need to upgrade my next building? And I now have 12 hours to go out. And raid a bunch
yeah.
of other villages. So
it's freemium, right? Like it's free game, but
it's
there's
free, but and you can do it all free,
or you can buy things
or you
here
can
there.
Or
free
you can
meal.
Buy
because yeah.
okay. you earn gems, but you earn them very
sure,
slowly.
Sure.
If you buy gems, what you can do is you can complete upgrades faster.
Mm-hmm.
You can
yeah.
you can buy new things
like
faster.
Or, yeah.
So yeah, it's it. There's definitely time. I spent $10 on the game, so you can
yeah.
you can and you can do it without spending money.
Sure,
but
yeah.
but
I always give those games money because it's like I'm playing your game.
Sure.
And I'm obviously
well, exactly.
enjoying
that's
myself.
What,
have
that's
some
why
money.
I'm like, that's why I'm like $10
yeah.
bucks now. Shrug. That's
yeah.
no big deal.
Right.
But there are things like after a while, it takes like a week to complete
oh,
a building,
sure. yeah.
and then you can spend gems to finish it. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll wait a week.
Yeah,
what's
yeah,
right?
yeah, nothing but time.
Yeah,
just
so
waiting to die.
So that's what I've been doing.
I would say The Wolf Among Us, which
oh.
we've talked about before on here,
yeah.
but I actually just realized that it's July now, which means that probably the new episode
the
is today already.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's. It is a Telltale game, so it's one of those games where all the decisions you make matter, and
yeah.
you'll say, like, it'll be like, you're like, can I have some extra money, Mr. Wolf? And it'll be like, give her the money, don't give her the money, and the time bar is going, and you only have a certain amount of time to decide, and not deciding is also a decision.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so if you give her the money, then later, like, when you need money, you won't have it, and
yeah.
it can be, so it's,
or sometimes
yeah.
you say something mean to someone, it'll be like,
yeah.
Mr. Pig will remember this.
Yeah.
Like, it's so
yeah.
ominous.
And so I'm really looking forward to playing that. I like games with moral consequences,
yeah.
probably because
yeah.
I have no morality. Because
they, you know, they have the
it's
second
teaching you about morals,
yeah,
since you don't have a Bible to do.
Yes,
for
exactly.
You.
The second
yeah.
Walking Dead game is out from them.
Awesome,
yeah.
and
awesome.
They're doing a Borderlands game
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
that,
to that.
In
that'll
that
be
style.
Great.
Yeah, I'll play
yeah.
that.
All right. Question number two: what is your favorite religious allusion or reference in music?
Oh,
here is
an
example
right.
that I came up
yeah.
with, which is from They Might Be Giants Road Movie to Berlin from Flood. It's, we were once so close to heaven, Peter came down and gave us medals, declaring us the nicest of the damned.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I really
like that
I'm
going to say, because it's the, I love the song Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And I don't just love the Jeff Buckley version. I like the U2 version. I like the Leonard Cohen version. I love that song. And
yeah.
I think that it is the imagery especially. And I my favorite one is, she tied you to a kitchen chair, and she broke your throne, and she cut your hair, and from your lips she drew the hallelujah, which I've always liked a lot. And there's a lot of imagery in that song that's about, and the other one is, well, maybe there's a God above, but all I've ever learned from love is how to shoot somebody who outdrew you.
Oh, gee.
Which
huh.
is just, yeah, it's
yeah.
It's very good, and I get chills just thinking about it, and even though it's a very
uh-huh.
religious imagery song, it's Leonard Cohen, so it's
yeah.
not religious.
Yeah.
Mine's also They Might Be Giants, but it's from
uh-huh.
Lincoln, it's Son of God.
Oh, I love that one too.
Yeah, like, built the little empire out of some crazy garbage called the blood of
the exploited
working
class.
But they've overcome their shyness. Now they're calling me your highness. And the world screams, kiss me, son of God. It's got like that really like loungy.
Yeah,
like,
really good. I love that.
It's a good song. It's not necessarily positive.
Yeah, yeah.
Outlook of religion. But,
yeah.
I had a really hard time with this one. I was originally going to pick Dinosaur Bones, which is a song Jeffrey Brown and I wrote about how ridiculous it is that people think that dinosaur bones were planted by
humans. Oh, yeah.
But actually, as I thought about it, as I've been, you guys have been talking, actually what I thought about is Mozart's Requiem.
Oh.
Which, you know, almost all classical music from that era is religious. And
like the art, like any art.
Yeah, yeah, but it's amazing. It's an amazing work of
so
music.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I don't think about it as a song that references God, but of course it does. It's all Bible verses.
Right.
Yeah. So that's my pick.
Nice.
We can like those things.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number 3. Time to toot your own horn. What is your favorite charitable act you have done in the last year? And this can be anything from small random acts of kindness to donating large amounts of money, time, tissue, whatever. Mm.
Huh. I'm going to say, for me, it's the USS Nokomis blood drive that I haven't done it yet, but tomorrow I have my appointment.
Okay.
Nick just donated blood the other day.
I donated blood last week at work.
I think donating blood is super important, and it is easy. It very much bothers me that they have not lifted the ban on men who have had sex with men. I feel that is awful right now because they know how to test. They test your blood anyway. Like,
I never know how to answer those questions.
All you can do is be truthful. And it's
am
a bummer.
I supposed to answer
it's kind of a... It's kind of a trick question. It's not really a...
It is.
There is one question. I had sex with a man while I had a penis, but I was a woman at the time.
Exactly.
And not
applicable.
Yeah.
and it doesn't matter because they test the... Yeah.
Yeah. We do all of our charitable giving together. Do you mind if I just speak for you? We have friends who are... they have been trying to have a baby for some time, and it hasn't been worked out. They've had some, miscarriages and things like that, and they decided that they want to adopt, and they, you know, just started a GoFundMe campaign because they ran down all the costs.
Adoption's
it's going to be
expensive.
Like 55 grand just to even try, and they, you know, it was a really heartfelt thing, and, you know, even though we don't have kids or want kids, it's like... there's just something about it that I just felt like I could seriously get behind. There was just this open admission of love and need that I just really like to support. And when people come to you and say, like, look, I mean, if you have, you know, any money that you want to help us out with this, that'd be great. And it's not just like, we deserve this, you know, but like, this is something that we ache for. And do you want to help?
There's no entitlement.
It feels really nice, even if it's just 20, 40 bucks to be able to say... good luck. You know, this is me saying good luck with measurable amounts of money.
Community support.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it takes a village.
My general rule when anything like that is like, if I like that person, I'll give them $10.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, so...
help you on your way. They go to your shows.
I have a friend, Chris Olson, who just had surgery for a cancerous growth on his hip, and it's going to be a very long recovery process.
Sarcoma.
And he has a certain amount of time off from work. He has health insurance, but there's still a lot of expenses that don't get covered, and he did a GoFundMe, and I had no problem throwing money his way, because he's a good person, and because, you know what? Those health issues come along, and people always think, well, if you got health insurance, then everything, all your expenses are covered. It's like, no, it's never that easy.
Health insurance doesn't, like, pay for the extra gas it takes for everyone to drive you around more, or for the
time off work,
or the fact that no one can clean the house now because you're all too busy, you know, with everything else, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's the thing.
And it's so hard for people to ask for that kind of help, and if they do, I just feel like I can always afford
$10. I think that's the point. That's a big point, is, like, when people ask... and it's not, and it's this, like, naked, like I said, this naked and sincere, like, you know, admission of desire. And I always appreciate when people are willing to be open.
So that's my answer.
Yeah. I'll do mine really quick, because I know this girl on Twitter through the Pony fandom, and she was just complaining one day. She's like, I'm so sick of being poor. I want a nice pair of boots, but my ankles are big, and I just want to, you know, so I'm like, and then so I looked online and saw about how much, you know, you could get, you know, big girl calf boots on, like, Amazon, and I sent her a $50 Amazon card anonymously.
Oh,
so Joy, if you're listening,
so awesome.
Me.
That's awesome. You know, there's a lot of I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, what's your next
Number 4, what's your favorite dessert? Be specific.
Oh man,
chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse.
Wait, shit. Key lime pie.
Great shit.
No, chocolate mousse. It really is key lime pie.
Okay. Back in the day, it used to be lemon supreme pie. I'm not a big meringue fan. But these days, it's mouse bites. Molly and I have
They're raw brownie bites. They're made with dates and walnuts and cocoa powder. And we have them upstairs, and they're so good.
Yeah, so it's... What do you... You take, like, walnuts or cashews or something.
Dates, walnuts, and cocoa powder.
But you grind them up.
You grind it all up.
And then you add in dates... And
cocoa powder.
Right, you roll them into little balls.
Yeah.
The ones that we have upstairs are rolled in dried coconut, shredded, and then you chill them so that they solidify and get hard a little.
Yeah,
but it's like eating raw brownie batter.
Yeah, it's super good.
But there's no sugar added to them whatsoever.
They're within our dietary intake.
Yeah, and they taste amazing.
Mine is creme brulee or tiramisu. I have a thing where I taste tiramisu every time I'm at a restaurant. I don't anymore, but I used to always have to try the tiramisu just to see. So those are my two favorites.
Key lime pie, and by the way, I do have to specify key lime pie made the right way.
Of course.
Yeah. Not like if it's green, that's not key lime pie.
Yeah, it needs to be kind of a weird palish yellow.
It's gotta kind of be pale
yellow.
Well, I like the French silk pie.
I like that too.
Yeah, man. Deanna Troy is my soulmate. Yeah, I love chocolate so much.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Final question.
Fifth question: if you could change the Pope's mind about one issue that he would actively work towards making for official church policy, what would that be?
Legalized abortion. Just safe, legal abortion for everyone. Mm-hmm. And just increase, because I think that increasing, like allowing for contraception and safe, legalized abortion, if you work with those together, you reduce the one that people don't like. I mean, like, you have fewer abortions if you let people use birth control.
It's true. It's
just how it works.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
You're fighting against two things that are just going to make it worse.
I'm tired of women dying over something that the Bible doesn't even talk about.
I feel like that's a symptom. And I think what I would address is the what I think is the cause of that. And that's they should enable women to be priests.
Yeah. I was
going to
say the exact same thing for the exact same reason.
Because if we had a female... I'm a Catholic.
If
there was a female pope, if there's a woman pope... I think those people would eventually be like, you know what, birth control is important.
I think it's
you know what,
like
abortion isn't that bad.
If you see women as equals, you don't see them as
equals. The only women that are allowed to serve in the church have to be celibate, so
there's no fucking women in the church.
Well, but I mean, exactly. The women in the church don't have a voice in that.
Right.
Race.
Yeah.
They can't talk about that experience.
No one's representing them.
And I agree with Nick. That was what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
What about you? I'm curious. What would you?
Oh, well, I was thinking along the lines of what you said, the condom thing, especially because, I mean, that is just ravaging
Africa. Well, and there's so many Catholic missionaries in Africa, and they're handing out lots of Bibles, but no condoms for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And then, like, I know that people say, well, even if we gave them to them, they wouldn't want to use them, even if it was okay. But
so why would try?
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah,
how do you know that?
You know, if the Pope says yes, maybe they will.
We've tried nothing, and we're all out of ideas.
Right. All right, well, guys, Miranda, thank you so much. This was really amazing. I just thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for bidding and donating to Die Laughing and everything. I'm really glad that we got to meet you after being Twitter friends for all this time and tweeting and everything back and forth. I can always count on cute goat videos to come my way from. It'll be like at Mandy Dax. Boo! Have you seen this? Look at this goat.
I was going to say, your Twitter is at Mandy Dax.
MandyDax.
Yep.
So if you want to follow Mandy and so follow us on Twitter if you don't already, Geeks Without God. Please write in your answers to our 5 questions, or hell, comment with your answers to Miranda's 5 questions.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear what you guys think about that. And until then, we'll be seeing you. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks to Melissa Kerscher for our totally sweet logo.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divides. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts on geekswithoutgod.com, and be sure to follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks. We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
Geeks without God.
I was texting him, don't knock.